Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 27th day of March, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Repent or Perish. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumru, Ambith. Callers are welcome. We do ask that your comments or questions are kept as short as possible to allow as many folks to participate as we can. We are in the question and answer mode, which typically means one at a time. Our website is www.pastordan, and that's all together, no spaces, pastordan.net. On that website, you'll see a schedule for calls. You'll see a lot of links for news items, historical items, health tips, also archives of past programs, and a master list of all programs going back to 1999. We do remind you, if you see a show in the master list and it's not available as a link on our archive page, if you will let me know, I will make sure it gets updated and uploaded to the website. A shout out to Jimmy over in Tampa and his radio audience. I guess he's back to Bank versus UTV now. The censors are hitting everybody very hard. We're in a war. This is an ideological war. The enemy is not going to give up easily, and so they're doing everything they can to mess with emails, YouTube platforms, any truth or information getting out there, because they're trying desperately to contain the narrative and to do damage control. Because, again, the one thing the enemy hates is the truth. And so every piece of truth that comes along does them damage, and they're bleeding profusely. They've been outed in so many ways. For instance, this thing with Jesse Smollett, the gay black actor who tried to instigate a race war, was let off the hook. And then we find out that the black female DA for Chicago was friends with all the swamp creatures involved, and on and on and on. It just never ends. It just never ends. But I keep pointing out to people that, please take note that most of the criminality we see being done is being done by people who are not of our race, not of our culture, and many times females. All right? Now, a lot of people don't like to hear that, but ladies, you were never to be in politics. You were never to be part of the governing of a country. You were never to be in the military. That's where men go. I remember as a boy, especially in war zones, most of the nurses, at one time anyway, were men. They didn't even let ladies anywhere near the battlefield to perform medical duties. That was done by men. All right? So, again, people get their feelings hurt, but, you know, we can't deal with that. We got to deal with the truth. Yeshua told us the truth shall set you free, and it's the truth that sets you free, not make you feel good euphemisms and tickling of your ears, etc. It's just totally ridiculous. And we haven't had the truth in a long time. It's because it hasn't mattered. It really hasn't mattered. Most of my adult life, the average white person in America could care less about the truth, really, to be quite honest. I went into the military. I can guarantee you that 99% of the men in the military didn't have a clue what was in the United States Constitution. Even though many of them had just come out of high school with diplomas, some of them had some college, and I can guarantee you they took an oath of office and didn't know a damn thing about the Constitution. And that can be said for most public servants in government, by the way. that's why I found it interesting when the general was making the people at the CIA in front of a video camera retake their oath of office. Interesting. Why did they do that? They should have taken one before they got hired. So why do it again? And why do it in front of a video camera? Unless, just maybe, if these people have committed treason, they have on video that they did take the oath of office. And when they break that oath, that is tantamount to treason for a public servant. Okay, for you and me, it's bad, but it's not near as bad as somebody that's in a position of trust. And that's what we have to understand. So the main reason I picked the Repent or Perish, because there's just so much stuff in the news today and so many things going on, it is really difficult to stay ahead of it all and try to wrap your head around it. Those of us that have been following this stuff for a very long time, you know, even the veterans are almost dumbfounded at the depth of depravity of the deep staters, the swamp creatures, the cabal. It goes by a lot of different names, but it's just basically evil people, all right? Evil, rotten, no good, degenerate people. So what does that mean for us? Well, the scriptures are very, very clear, and I'm going to read some here out of the book of Luke that I grabbed right before the program. And if you want to follow along, you can get your Bibles and go to the book of Luke, chapter 13. But it's becoming apparent that we have two camps. We have the wicked and we have the righteous, period. That's it. There's no in-between. We've talked about that for a long, long time. There is no fence at the end of the age, no fence to sit on. You can't sit in the sidelines and think you're going to jump off the fence and go on the side that's winning. That's not how it's going to work this time. You're going to have to pick a side. That's why Christ said, I hate the lukewarm. Okay, you people sitting on the fence, that's another name for you, the lukewarm. You're not hot, you're not cold, you're just sitting in the middle, you're just taking up space. He's already said that I detest. In fact, I hate those people so much, I will vomit them out of my mouth. Where is this the God that the church talks about that just loves everybody to death? And when he says, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth, or when he says, you know, yeah, you're saying you did this in my name, you did that in my name, but you know what? Get away from me. I don't even want you near me. I don't recognize you. Get away from me. I don't care if you knew my name or not, because your heart doesn't show it, you see? That's why we picked this title, Repent or Perish, because it's based on, out of the Septuagint anyway, it's based on two Greek words, and we're going to go into that here in just a second. But out of Luke 13, verses 1 through 9, there were present at that season some who told him, meaning Messiah, about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Yeshua answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. In other words, if you're getting a little bit full of yourself because you haven't suffered like others have suffered, so you somehow think you're above other people? He's got news for you. No, you're not. Verse 4, or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Then we go down here to verse 6. And he also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, hey, look, for 3 years I've come here seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it waste the ground it's in? But the keeper answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, very well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down." Does that sound like other things we've talked about? Okay. Good trees bear what? Good fruit. Bad trees bear bad fruit. That's why Christ said, judge them by their fruits. Don't judge by outward appearances, speeches given, voting records, the mainstream media paints them and such. No, no, no. You can't hide fruit. The fruit of the spirit, the fruit of the physical body. You can't hide that. Now, they can tell you all kinds of lies in the mainstream media about somebody, but if you're a truth seeker, you're going to do the digging necessary to find out what the fruit's really like. Because only by judging the fruit can you judge a person. Because, again, the media can paint somebody as low as a Barack Obama and make him look like a smart man. He's not. He's an idiot. Can make him look like a moral man. He's not. He's a pervert. And so is his male partner. All right? Perverts. But the media painted him as if he's this brilliant statesman that's going to lead America into a new direction. Well, he did that all right, not because he's a brilliant statesman, but because he's depraved and has no backbone and has no tie to the culture of this country by race, religion, faith, any of it. He has no ties to this country whatsoever. And yet morons think that he was a great president. And I mean the word moron. Only a moron could not see through the fact that he was a complete traitor to this country. And all of his cohorts in the swamp, they're all traitors. So the question is, where's the righteous in all this, all right? We got all this evidence. It's just flowing out of Washington, D.C. for 2.5 years now. It's criminality. It's treason at the highest level. It's misprism and malfeasance at the middle level. But pretty much everybody in Washington is guilty of something, and it's even been stated that all 50 governors, at least a year or so ago, all 50 governors were corrupt. They'd all been compromised. So what did the sheep do? Well, first of all, you have to repent. Okay, Father's not going to come save the day if you don't repent. Remember 2 Chronicles 7:14, Hosea 4:6. Okay? There's conditions. Father wants to come to the rescue. Trust me. He doesn't like seeing his children suffer. He sure as hell doesn't like watching babies being ripped apart. He sure it doesn't take any pleasure in watching children being sold into slavery or butchered and consumed or sexually raped and murdered. I don't think we should enjoy that either. Why do we tolerate it? We, the people, are the ones responsible. These people are public servants. They need to be reminded of it, but so do you, which means that you are to hold your servants accountable. They work for you. You are the master. And I'm talking to the original Americans. We sent out that law that was passed when this country was first being formed that stated very, very clearly that only free white men of good reputation were to be allowed entrance into this country. The founding fathers further said only free white men of good reputation could hold public office, sit in a jury box, or cast a ballot. That was upheld all the way through the 1800s to almost 1900 by the Supreme Court when people of other races tried to argue cases in front of the Supreme Court, and they were thrown out. And this is long after the Civil War was over. So this whole idea that the war between the states was to free everybody and make them all part of the gang, no, that's not what it was about. And the Supreme Court's sites in the late 1800s proved that when they threw cases out and said the Constitution applies to white people. It's a white country. So we're only talking since the early 1900s when the usurpers had come to power in this country and started taking control of the media and everything else, did they convince the sheep that we're a melting pot of races and cultures and religions. No, we're not. That was never the case. We were a melting pot of European nations like France in Ireland and Scotland, England, Germany, Belgium, Spain. Yeah, the European whites could come here. That's a melting pot. But not Middle Easterners, Orientals, Jews, or blacks. Sure as hell, no Muslims, Jews, Zionists, Talmudists. None of them were to have power in this country. And there's a good reason for it. And you're living in it right now. You're living in it. You're living in what happens to a country that forgets the founding fathers and forgets who the founding fathers put their faith in, namely our Heavenly Father Yahweh. You turned your back on all of that. You've accepted the big lie. You've bought into the church world's nonsense that somehow Messiah was this almost gay hippie type, love everybody and just everything's love, 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 love. And you bought into it. And you turned your back on common sense. You turned your back on your ancestors. You turned your back on the Constitution. You turned your back on history. You turned your back on just plain rational thinking. And you accepted it because why? Because you didn't want to make waves, because you're lazy, because you're non-confrontational. You didn't want to be bothered. And you just wanted to focus on your entertainment and your pleasures of life. So the truth didn't matter, so you became idolaters, because that's what that is. That's a form of idolatry. You have made idols out of your pleasures, whether it's booze, drugs, sex, entertainment, movies, sports, government, institutions, whatever. They became your idols because that's what you feared and revered. And that's why he says, repent or perish. Now, what does repent mean? Well, if you go to a lexicon or a concordance, which has lexicons in it, lexicon is just another name for a dictionary. The Greek lexicon for the Greek word 3340 in Strong's, which is metanoeo, something close to that anyway, and it's basically means to think differently or reconsider. Now, we've talked about the word repent in English coming from Latin. Re means to, like, do again, like repeat, reiterate. So repent, pent is the root word for to think. In fact, the French word for to think is penser, P-E-N-S-E-R, penser. Je pense is I think, okay? So repent, again, think differently, reconsider, reprioritize what's in your life. And that's what's the problem in our country. Our people have not learned to do that. We haven't reprioritized things. We're still trapped in that materialistic world where we think everything that puts money in my pocket makes it okay. Unfortunately, that's not the way our Father looks at it. And you're going to see some miraculous things in the near future. Already, it's been a miracle of sorts in that a great apocalypse. Apocalypse, by the way, just means a revealing, okay? And you're in the apocalypse now. It doesn't mean like what Hollywood puts out there with the apocalyptic movies and stuff with scenarios where it's the end of the world and all that. That's not what it's talking about. Apocalypse comes from a Greek word which means to expose or reveal. And that's what's happening right now. He said, you know, before the end of the age, before the second coming, all that had been hidden will be made known. And guess what? It's exactly what's happening. Everything in Scripture talking about the scenarios and things happening at the end of the age, you're living in it. You're living in those times that the prophets had talked about for thousands of years. You're in it, folks. So repent, again, is to think differently. Now, how many people do you know have had the experience of the indwelling of Yahweh's Spirit within them? Do you know very many people that have had that? I know a lot of people that know their Scripture. They go even in identity. They go to the identity meetings and everything else. But how many of them actually have felt the presence of Messiah in their life. How many of them have actually been through the what they call the conversion experience? You know, it's like a lot of things in this world. If it has to be explained to you, then probably you haven't been through it. Just food for thought for a lot of folks, because I was thinking about that while having a discussion earlier today. A lot of people go through the motions. A lot of people like to make up works, even in identity. They try to make up things that you can do, because I believe a lot of our people have not had that experience, so they would realize that that's a life-changing experience. And it wasn't tied to keeping the Hebrew calendar. It wasn't tied to going to feasts. It wasn't tied to anything. I know when I had mine, I didn't know anything about identity. I didn't learn about identity till a decade later. I started reading like Herbert Armstrong and his book about British Israelism. I started studying all that, but I didn't really come to understand true identity until much later. So if all those things that we're being told about apply to your conversion to the Messiah, then how come Messiah came and did his work upon me so much earlier than I even knew the message? Do you see my point? Now, I'm not trying to downplay it. If a brother or a sister wants to do all that other stuff, that's all well and good, because it's good to know our history. It's good to know why our ancestors observed what they observed. But don't confuse that with the period we're in now, which is post-Christ and his sacrifice for us. He didn't tie that to anything. I know that because I've been through it. I've lived it. I had the life-changing experience. I was a completely different person the day before and the day after. Completely. Oh, I was the same man in form. My voice didn't change or any of that, but it was a repentance. I did not think the same way ever again from that day on. Because even though I knew the Father from the time I was a small boy, I never stopped praying to him, never stopped believing in him. But I did not know Christ until that period of time, which was 30-some years ago. And again, when it happens to you, there's no doubt about what's going on. There's no doubt about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There's no doubt about the cleansing that comes as you realize that when Christ said, I'm going to wash your transgressions away from you, he wasn't kidding. You literally feel it wash away from you. You feel clean for the first time in your life. It's a beautiful experience. But it only comes to those with a heart that truly wants the Father. Again, repentance. Come out of the world. Stop looking at the world as if it's got what you need or want. It doesn't. The Father does. That's why every Adamic man is born with a great big hole right in the middle of his chest. And you ladies too, but Adam man is the one who's fallen the most. The Adamic man is the one who needs to set the record straight. And each of us men have this big hole right in our chest, and there's only one thing on this earth that can fill it, and that's the King of Kings. That's the only thing can fill that hole. And when it's full, you lose your fear. You don't worry so much. And it doesn't mean that you don't get a little anxious about something going on at work or maybe getting a bill paid. But I'm talking about that paralyzing fear. The paralyzing fear of the Antichrist and his minions and what they're up to. You go from paralyzing fear to, I'll keep an eye on my enemy, because that's wise. But I don't fear them. I don't fear leaving this world. I don't want anything in this world so much that I will compromise my position with the Father. That's the difference. That is what repent is talking about. Now, the word perish comes from another Greek word, 622, apolume, or apulamai, I should say. And again, that's 622, which means to destroy fully, which means to utterly destroy. And look at our people today. You go down the street and you look at the average man or woman of the white race today, and man, what happened to them? What happened to them? They don't look healthy. They don't look happy. In fact, most people of all races, but particularly the white race, because we are to be the trendsetters, so to speak. We were put here to tend the garden. That's the way Genesis puts it. And those words in the original language meant to keep the garden, to tend it, like you would a garden in the backyard. You have to water it from time to time. You have to get the, I remember as a little boy, we used to get a little tin can and put gasoline in it and go knock the Japanese beetles off of our plants into the gasoline because that would kill them. But we did that by hand. We didn't spray chemicals and pesticides and herbicides. No, mom and dad gave each of us three children a little can with some gasoline in it, and that was our job to go through. And did we bitch about it? Sure, we did. We were children. We wanted to go play. TV was not such a thing back then. There were only two or three channels, and most of the time the television didn't work. A tube was out. Vacuum tubes burn out frequently in the old sets. So television wasn't a big distraction, but going down by the creek and throwing rocks or taking hikes up through the woods and stuff, those were things we'd rather do. But you took care of the garden. The next night, you might each get a rake and be told that's your row, and over there, that's Sandy's row, and that's Randy's row, and mom and dad would get another row. So we'd each get a row and start at one end of the garden, go to the other, and by the time you got done, that garden looked pretty damn sharp. But it took work, you see. And that's what we, the white race, were put here to do, is tend the garden, to keep law and order, to bring justice to this world. Only our people were given that commandment. And in Washington, D.C., you've got a swamp full of everything but the white Anglo-Saxon, we'll say Protestant, but that's not even applicable anymore. It's the white Anglo-Saxon child of Yahweh, man of Yahweh, an Adamic man who knows who he is and who his Elohim God is. Those are the ones that get something done, and you will find almost no one in Washington, D.C. that fits that description. Almost no one. At least I haven't seen them. If they're there, they're hiding pretty damn good because I don't see it. And certainly with the nonsense that goes on in Washington, D.C., it's not hard to see where if they're there, they're not having much of an effect. Again, where's the fruit? So in the meantime, more babies die on a daily basis, more children enslaved, more children consumed, more children raped, more men and women sold into bondage, more vaccinations pumped into the arms of innocent people because they're ignorant of the truth. And on it goes. And more white nations trying to be disarmed by the Bolsheviks so that they can perfect their communist takeover of this world, because after all, the Jews believe they're the master race. Read David Duke's book, Jewish Supremacism. Whether you like David Duke or not, he's an excellent author, okay? I don't really give a damn if you like him or not. I believe somebody that does scholarly work and writes a good book should be read, whether you like him personally or not. Kevin McDonald is not identity. But he writes a damn good book, and he gives some pretty darn good speeches. Same thing with Jared Taylor. He's not identity, but he's got a lot of good information. Well, same thing with David Duke. Okay, would he endorse this program or any other one? Probably not. But did he write two good books? Well, yeah, at least those two. I know about those two, and I sold many copies of those books back in the day before computers. So David Duke's My Awakening, an excellent book, 1,000 footnotes in that book alone, and then Jewish Supremacism. If you just read those two books, it would wake your eyes up to the Bolsheviks that operate amongst us, that alone, okay? And that's not even a Bible. So people that are having aversion to the Bible, tell them to go read those books, because David Duke certainly is not approaching things from a biblical aspect. He's like Kevin MacDonald and Jared Taylor. They're approaching it from a scholastic approach. So the Father told us in many scriptures that if you can't repent, if you can't change the way you think, you will perish, okay? And it's not just in the spiritual sense. That's important, but it's not just there. Think about education, all right? Our children are suffering because you won't do due diligence, mom and dad, and homeschool them. Or at the very least, put them in a small Christian academy somewhere. And don't tell me that it doesn't work. I know because I did it for my children back in the 80s and 90s. Okay? So I know the difference between public school education and homeschooling and small local Christian academies. I've seen the difference within my own children. And it does work. So the children suffer. They don't perish necessarily, but some of them do. They get into drugs, alcohol, whatever, depression, get hooked on Oxycontin or sedatives or depression medicine, etc. Because school is satanic. The schools are teaching Bolshevism. The schools are teaching atheism. The schools are teaching evolution. These are all counter to what the Word of God teaches and common sense teaches. Evolution's BS. There is no scientific basis for evolution. In fact, it goes against the laws of thermodynamics. So that right there tells you it's full of crap. But the point of it is, okay, so our children suffer and perish because of our ignorance, our lack of repentance. How many people are sick? How many people are overweight? How many people are on 3, 4, 5 medications? How many people are signing up for hip replacement or joint replacement? How many people are getting cortisone and other things for arthritis? Okay, again, you're perishing. Why? Because you did not repent. You did not reconsider. You did not rethink the health issue. Instead, you followed your false gods, the mainstream lying media. The doctors who come out of schools that are supplied with pharmaceutical money and Jewish shekel money so that they push the party line. Same thing with the pharmaceutical companies. Most of them are owned by Bolsheviks, and they're full of Bolshevik money. Okay, you believed a false god. You did not repent. You went out and bought insurance. Why? Because your false gods told you to get it. Well, the problem with that is, yeah, you've got insurance now, but guess what? You have to follow their program. And guess what? They're not going to pay for a program that works. They're going to pay for you to go do exactly what the party line says. Get the vaccinations, see your doctor, go through the procedures, take the medications, get the surgeries, and on and on and on. Repent or perish. Really, I mean, how hard is that to figure out? If you can't get in alignment with the Father, perishing is the only alternative left for you, folks. I hate to tell you that. I had another verse here for you out of Psalm chapter 62. It says, "With Elohim God is my salvation and my honor." Whoa. "With Yahweh is my salvation and my honor, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in Elohim God." Hallelujah. Again, Psalm 62, verse 7. Again, this word salvation is talking about not what the church world teaches, but with Elohim, who is truth, is my salvation from what? The things we're talking about. Poor health, poor food, poisons in my body, poisons in my mind through the education system. Okay? It's really not rocket science to figure out, folks. Repent or perish. And if somebody could write in either to my bydpastordan@yahoo.com, and I'm hearing an echo, and I need to know if you're hearing an echo. So let me know if the audio is working all right, and maybe you could tell me in the chat room there, Jimmy. Thumbs up, thumbs down, whatever, but I'm getting an echo in my headset. So again, we got a whole lot of things going on today. We also want to remind you, audio is good, great, thank you. I want to remind you that coming up, not this Wednesday, let's see, it'll be a week from today. Yeah, a week from today, we should have John Mark on to discuss propertarianism. So you want to mark your calendar for that one, because I have a feeling that's going to be a humdinger of a program, probably every bit as good as when we had Misha on talking about his family coming here from Russia and the different things he saw as a Canadian working for the U.S. DA, and how they have ruined the organics, organic farming, etc. And again, what doesn't the cabal ruin? I mean, honestly, come on. What is it that they don't ruin? It's just like the book says of the Antichrist. Everything they touch, they ruin. They're here to steal, to kill, and destroy. What haven't they ruined? They've ruined the church world. I can tell you, as a young Methodist going to school and Sunday school and church in my youth, the things that were talked about at church and Sunday school were way different then than what they are today. Way different. One of the big differences is that you weren't ashamed to be white. Probably 100% of the people in the church were white. And we didn't condone race mixing when I was a boy in the 1950s. And a lot of people today say, well, Dan, it's because you're an old timer and you got to come up to speed. Really? Again, I'll give you the old saying, you can ignore the truth, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring the truth, and you're living the consequences. Cities in California have been turned into dung heaps, literal human feces, mountains of it, and disease that comes along with that, the rats, the typhus, the fleas, I mean, just problem after problem after problem, because as they told us when I was a boy, cleanliness is next to godliness. So personal hygiene was something we were taught as small children. And yet we have adults today that don't know the basics of proper hygiene. And we were taught that as young children. So what's wrong? You're living in what's wrong when you lose your rudder, okay? George Washington referred to our moral rudder being our biblical basis for our lives. He even stated that this country as a republic based on a constitution could only work for a moral people, people who are self-governing. They have some sort of standards. He said it would not work for any other. Well, it's not working because you become a nation of people that don't have any standards. Look at the average white person today. What kind of standards do they have? They dress like slobs. They talk like slobs. They meander about like slobs. Personal hygiene usually is not all the greatest, even though they might cover themselves with a ton of makeup and perfume and cologne. They don't care about their professional looks. They don't care about their vocabulary. They don't care about the image they present. We're supposed to be ambassadors. Each one of us is an ambassador. And again, I'm not trying to throw stones and make anybody feel bad out there, but truth be known, let's face it, the average person out there of our race, and again, Aryan, is what we were known as for many millennia. We were known as Aryan. What does Aryan mean in the ancient Sanskrit language? It means noble. Have you ever heard the word nobleman before? The aristocracy of our people, as we became different nations of Europe, when the tribes came into Europe, the people in charge were called noblemen. Men of the what? Nobility. Noble. Look that up sometimes, what that word means, and see if it applies to anybody you know. The same thing with gentlemen. We hear that word all the time. We have a restroom we say for gentlemen. But what did the word really mean? Genteel. Men who were genteel. Genteel is very similar to Aryan. So you couldn't be called a gentleman just simply because you had the equipment of a male. You had to earn the title, just like an Aryan. You had to earn the title. Handing it out like candy just debases the whole thing. Now, gentleman doesn't mean anything. Aryan doesn't mean anything. I've met a lot of people from Aryan nations. They weren't noble. Now, some of them were, but I've met some, they weren't. They were drunks. Their gutter language, behavior that was more like gutter rats than Aryans. Why would you take on the name Aryan Nation and then act like a drunken sailor? Where's the nobility there? Where is the leadership there? Where is the standard for our people? See, our people don't have a standard because we don't have any leaders. We don't have any leaders that meet and work towards the goal that the Father put for us. We used to, instead of politicians, who are nothing but scumbags and whores, we used to have gentlemen or genteel men who were statesmen. When's the last time you heard somebody in the swamp referred to as a statesman? Well, it's because they're not there. It's just like the word I found a long time ago by accident, Rhadamanthine. We haven't talked about that word in quite some time. It's Rhadamanthine, Rhadamanthine. It comes from the Greek language, but it means to be strictly and uncompromisingly just. Can you imagine that being applied to anything in government at the state and federal level today? So here's a word in our dictionary. When I found it, it had to have been the Holy Spirit that led me to it, because I was looking for a different word. It jumped off the page at me. I said, wow, there's a word I've never seen before. Never! In all my years in high school and some college and military training and school there and then apprenticeship school for 5 years, not once in all that education, not once in all the books that I read did I ever see this word used. And here it was in the Webster's Dictionary. And such a beautiful word, to be strictly and uncompromisingly just. You would think that this adjective, Rhadamanthine, would apply to everybody in the Justice Department, wouldn't you? They're supposed to be the, quote, leaders, aren't they? Do you think it might be applicable to somebody in the CIA, FBI, NSA, and all these other alphabet agencies that are part of our, quote, government? Supposed to be our leaders, people we can trust. Can you trust them? No, of course you can't. Why? Because this word does not apply to anybody. Again, I'm going to ask you, can you take your hand? You got five fingers on it, at least you should. Can you find five in your circle that you know that this word applies to? Strictly and uncompromisingly just. And you wonder why we're in trouble. We've lost our rudder. We've lost our direction, our compass. We're floundering in this country. Actually, the white nations of this world are all floundering because we've been infiltrated by interlopers pretending to be us when they are not. Remember in the book of Luke when he said, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees," which is their hypocrisy. What is leaven? Leaven is anything that causes a small, almost imperceptible change in a thing or a process. What did these imposters, these interlopers, do in our nations? They got you to look the other way while they slipped into government. and they slipped into the law schools, and they slipped into the court system, and then they turned them from what they were originally supposed to be under Christian law into just tools to be used by the cabal to manipulate you. Reminds me of the movie The Gladiator, when the evil son of the emperor had come to power, and he's talking to his sister. Should I dissolve the Senate and declare myself God? And she says, no, not yet. Let them have their delusion that they still have a Senate that represents them. Let the Americans have their delusion that they have a House of Representatives and a Senate that will look after their best interest. Let them have the delusion that we have a working constitutional republic while the serpent is behind the scenes, the Bolshevik Zionist Talmud-thumping serpent is working his wily ways behind the curtain day in and day out, destroying this once great republic, eating away at the fabric, because nobody's got guts enough to point it out. Though that is changing, I'm seeing a lot more people growing some backbone, and especially in the Judeo-Christian realm that needs it desperately, waking them up, as Coach Dabomir is doing, and some of the others, basically pounding the table and denouncing the church pew setters for the fact that that's what they are. You're supposed to be doers, not hearers only. Where's the doing part? How could there be much doing in a country with as many churches and Bibles and hymnals as America's got, and yet we can't protect the unborn, the babies? We can't call homosexuals what they are, mentally ill, and it's a perversion of nature? I mean, do you really need a science degree to know that queers are an aberration of nature? I mean, come on. Are you really that far gone? Where do you see that in nature? You don't. Why? Because it doesn't work. All you have to do is take the argument out to its logical conclusion. If every single man, woman, and child became lesbians and queers, you'd be gone in one generation. There'd be nobody left. And don't hand me this, well, we could have two of them have a baby, and then we'll let the lesbos or the queers raise it. Well, you just denounced your own philosophy. But you see, the left and the Bolsheviks, they never worry about that, because they're not going to enter into a discussion on that level with you anyway. They're going to sling mud and hope that it sticks. It's called ad hominem attack, or to the man. That's Latin for to the man. So they're going to attack the man, both his reputation, call him names, call him anti-Jewish, call him anti-gay, everything to attack the man and try to demean him, but they will not attack the issue because they don't have a leg to stand on, literally. They don't have a leg to stand on. We have a new movement that was started. Somebody had sent me a link to it. I checked it out, called the American Identity Movement. Now, they're not our kind of identity, but it's racial identity. And if you look at the tenets, the five basic tenets of the American Identity Movement, it fits in very well with a lot of what the libertarians are saying and the propertarians, and what the Florida Maquis is pushing for in the states' rights movement. In fact, he put out a video today that was excellent about the state of Texas. The state of Texas is in a position where it literally could operate as its own nation overnight. They're almost there now. They have their own infrastructure of electrical grid, so they could disconnect from the rest of the grid. Wouldn't hurt them one bit. They've got seaports. They've got plenty to export. They already are somewhat of a renegade in that they will not support federal legislation when it goes against the people of Texas. Their only problem is they haven't put a cap on the immigration problem, so they're going to end up with a very big problem at some point, by letting too many non-whites in. Every one of the 50 states needs to go back to being white-run, because these are our lands. These are our states. Okay? You can't argue with the fact it was European men and their families that came over here and established the states of this union. It's just facts, period. Like I said, the Supreme Court upheld it until 1900, not that long ago. So if you can't return to your roots, the proper roots, and put the right people in charge, and again, not just white men, but they have to be white free men of good reputation, which includes being believers, by the way. How can you be of good reputation if you're not a believer? Because if you don't have a set of moral codes to live by, then what the hell good are you? How can you be of good repute if you don't hold yourself to a higher standard? So, again, getting back to the basics, repent, think it through, change the way you think, and get back to the basics that the Founding Fathers set up. So this American Identity Movement, I'm going to follow it somewhat. I've told a few friends about it. They've already signed up with them. Hopefully I can get somebody from their organization on to do an interview, because I think it'd be, if nothing else, it'd be good just to hear what they're all about, because it's a new movement. They started out in Europe. I think they were called Europa Identity or Europa Resurrection. Europa Identity, I believe it was. So this is American Identity Movement, and we'll keep an eye on that. Also, what Florida Maquis says, if I can get him on, I'm going to try. Not only is Texas in a great place to be independent, but so is California, and so is Florida, believe it or not. Florida is another one of those states that's blessed with abundance of raw material, plenty of agricultural land, seaports, tourism, you name it, agriculture, ranches, quite a few horses and cattle in Florida, believe it or not. In fact, Florida had more cattle than Texas until about a year ago. Now I think we're number two, but just gives you an idea that there's three or four states of the union that, according to Florida Maquis, that could easily separate from the rest of the country and do very, very well. He also points out that many states of this union are bigger than countries of Europe. So the idea that, well, if we became independent states, we'd be invaded immediately, that's ludicrous. Because most of the countries of Europe are smaller than many of our states. So if Europe hasn't been invaded, then I doubt very seriously they'd come clear across the ocean and try to take over 50 independent, well-armed militia and National Guard states, each one of them operating as a separate army. So they'd have to fight 50 different armies. Not going to happen. Okay, for exact reason why the Japanese said they wouldn't attack here in World War II, because behind every blade of grass is an American with a weapon. Yeah, and now you know why the Bolsheviks want your weapons. Shame on the New Zealanders for not taking that little pervert prime minister, that little Bolshevik, and telling her to go jump in the river and keep their weapons. Ron Ewart put out a good article about, can America be saved peacefully? In his opinion, we're quickly approaching the point where it's not going to happen peacefully. If we don't get something done during this administration, even though I'm not so sure Trump is a good guy, really, with a lot of the people he puts in office, if something good doesn't happen during this administration, we're pretty much headed for a second American internal war. He calls it a civil war, but it's really not a civil war. It's, again, like a war between the states. The Jesse Smollett decision to drop all charges, that's already got all kinds of ugly fingerprints all over that. More and more stuff coming about the poisons in our foods by Monsanto. There was a county in California that outlawed Roundup. Another county outlawed glyphosate, or whatever it's called, on the foods. So even though it's a land of fruits and nuts, Californians must be waking up to the food poisoning issue faster than the rest of the country. the vaccination issue, another thing that divides our country. Some people think they have a right to force us to be vaccinated. There was a county recently that said that children that were not vaccinated because of the measles outbreak or whatever, they were not allowed in public to go to public indoor places because they weren't vaccinated, which doesn't make any sense at all, because if people that are vaccinated think it works, then why are they worried about unvaccinated? The other nonsensical thing with this whole thing is measles, folks. It's a childhood disease or illness. I had it. I had the measles, mumps, and the chicken pox. Most every child had it at some point that I grew up with. Well, the good news was, once you had that illness, your antibodies were produced by your body, and you never got it again. Later on in life, you never got it. I never got it after I had it as a child. My brother and sister and neighbors, same thing. They got the antibodies, never got it again. We survived it. It was about a week in bed with a fever and being attended by other family members. And yeah, you felt like crap, but it wasn't life-threatening. It wasn't what they're making it out to be. Like, oh my God, we have an outbreak of measles. That's just like the Zika virus thing. Zika, it's not even as bad as a bad cold. The real Zika, not the fake, phony, mainstream media Zika, which they try to make it like it's going to make your child's head shrink and all this fear porn, more fear porn. Now, Zika is actually a patented, man-made virus, and even if you got it, not much worse than just having the sniffles for a few days. And yet they sold us a bill of goods on the vaccines, sold us a bill of goods here in Florida for spraying on the mosquitoes. Of course, Rick Scott and his wife made a boatload of money off of that one. Okay, here again, lie. We're down to good versus evil. That's pretty much it in this world. Good versus evil. Repent or perish. Another good website. I've been getting requests for people that want to know the basics of identity. YourBiblicalHeritage.com. Again, YourBiblicalHeritageAltogether.com. A 7-book series. Very easy to read. I'm at book 4 now in mine, but lays it out very, very plainly and very easy to follow. The history of the tribes of Jacob Israel, how we became known as the different, like, Scythians and Parthians, etc. I'm going to talk about a book here in a minute I'm reading now that further adds to this accidentally, but it's adding fuel to the identity message. In fact, I think I'll talk about that one right now, and then I'll get to the other two. But I'm about fifth or fourth of the way through this one. It's the Buddhist literature of ancient Gandhara. And Gandhara was in the area of northern India today, Pakistan, Afghanistan. And what's interesting in this book is, like so many things in this world, just like we found out about Egypt, ancient Egypt was ruled by white people. Well, we find out that the original Buddhist, the Buddha, and his Dharma were, guess what? They were they call them Indo-Europeans, Indo-Aryans. In fact, there's a statue of the original Buddha that I'm looking at on the front cover, and if you can't tell that's a European Caucasian, you're dumber than a box of rocks. And it's not this little Michelin tire doughboy looking thing with an oriental face. That's what the Southeast Asians made Buddha look like, because that's where they're from. And having Buddhas that look like white men didn't fit. We're talking later on in the history of Buddhism. It didn't fit. Whereas the original Buddha and the language that Buddhist monks taught and everything else, their languages were based on Sanskrit, Pali, and other Indo-Aryan dialects, because Sanskrit is related to Aramaic. In fact, the author of the book talks about some of that. I highlighted it. I was going to go into it, but I don't think we have time for it tonight. But it's amazing to me, the similarities. And once you know the basic identity message, when you pick up books like this, it's so valuable because you see interspaced in the writings here, talking about the history of the Buddhist literature, the various languages that were used in that area. And that area of Gandhara, which is what it was called at that time in ancient history, was at the crossroads. It was on the Silk Road. There were a lot of the Iranian empires of ancient times came east and conquered at times. Then the Mongols and others, and the Scythians and Parthians, which were our people, obviously, Israelites, they were in the area. And again, when you know our message while you're reading these things, it's just amazing how the little pieces, the little fingerprints of truth to this message come out. In fact, I'm reading a section here. It says, the age of the Scythian kingdoms, the period of Indo-Greek domination. I forgot about that. That's right. The Greeks had great influence, and of course, they were our people too. It says, the period of Indo-Greek domination in Northwest India was followed in the first centuries BC and of the Common Era, or AD, by waves of invaders and nomads from the Iranian plateau and the Central Asian steppes, including the Indo-Scythians, a branch of the widespread Scythian nomads known as Saka. Where did I get that from? Isaac. Isaac's sons, Saka. The Parthians, and finally the Kusanians, or Kusanans, which was an empire. Again, our people, okay? Time after time after time, it talks about the similarities between the ancient Israelites, their root language, and how it influenced early Buddhist literature. And then you find out the Dharma is what he called it, which means anointed. His literature basically is scripture. What we call our scripture today. Now, you got to remember, I'm talking about the early Buddha and what he taught, not what Buddhism has become. But you read the early writings of the original Buddha and the things that he taught, it's very biblical. It's our people. And they just called it different things, but it was just them expressing. Because remember, there were no Bibles back then. You were a living Bible. You're a living testament to the people around you as to what you believe in, etc. And so in that area, and again, just off to the northeast of Gandhara, is the Tarim Basin. Now, how many times have we talked about the Tarim Basin is the number one prime location of where the Ark was during Noah's time. Okay, E. Raymond Capt and Bertrand Comparé and all talk about the Tarim Basin being the cradle of where Adam first came and set upon the earth and left from that area and formed all the civilizations as he traveled, coming out of the Tarim Basin. The Tarim Basin of China, which is just north, I think, of Tibet. It's either part of Tibet or right near Tibet. The far western part of China, so there aren't very many Chinamen there, really, not anymore. And originally, it was our people. And they found the 4,500-year-old mummies in the Tarim Basin. It was reported in National Geographic. I read the article when it came out. They found these 14 or 15 or so mummies, perfectly preserved, blonde hair and probably blue-eyed, but they had reddish and blondish hair because the hair was still there. And they had extremely finely woven garments on. Again, our people. So everything that we teach in identity is further backed up by people who have no idea what identity is. They're just scholars, researchers, authors that put these things together. And another book that I'm reading that further backs up all this is called Human Accomplishment. A brother, Mike, turned me on to this on one of our interviews or in talks here on the show. But the pursuit of excellence in arts and sciences from 800 BC to 1950 AD, Human Accomplishment by Charles Murray. And he also co-authored a New York Times bestseller called The Bell Curve. Now, what's amazing is in here, he's got all kinds of statistics and data of who came up with what and when, and it's just amazing. When that young man was caught on a YouTube having a discussion, and the blacks and the non-whites were getting all upset, and he was screaming that 99% of civilization was created by the white man, this book is proof of it, whether people like hearing it or not. This one book right here, and I'm sure other books you could find out, but in this one book right here, which, let's see, I don't know how many pages, it's about 650 pages. Okay, there's a lot of work in this thing. And that this other book by Richard Solomon here, The Buddhist Literature of Ancient Gandhara, it's also a rather scholarly work, very scholarly, actually. It reads very well for a textbook-type book. It's almost like reading a novel. It's almost 500 pages long. So between these two right here, you got a lot of evidence before you even get into archaeologists like Stephen Collins, E. Raymond Capt, Dr. Barry Fell, and others. Again, proving that our people are the ones who did what Yahweh put us here to do. Tend the garden. That's what he told us. Tend the garden. Just trying to figure out where the echo could be coming through the software. I just realized that. Now, the other book I want to highly recommend, and we'll probably be done for tonight, is this book I ordered written by a Navy SEAL by the name of Jamie Walden. The foreword in it's written by Stephen Quayle. It's Omega Dynamics, Equipping a Warrior Class of Christians for the Days Ahead. It's his contention that we're in a war. This is a war based on his time in the SEALs as a warrior. He was in Marine Corps Infantry Sergeant. He's also been a policeman, a firefighter and paramedic specialist, tactical medic, and disaster response specialist. He's been out on missionary work, and he doesn't come across, he lives with his wife and three children in Iowa. Good-looking Aryan lad here, but making excellent points that fit in with many of our discussions we've been having here lately on the show. But he talks in here about fear, and that's one of the things that I really, really like about this. He's got a bunch of verses in here. I'll just read a few of them on page 128 and 129, where it talks about fear of Yahweh. In other words, the Ten Commandments tell us that he's a jealous God. He does not want your reverence. Got to remember, the word reverence and fear come from the same root word in the original language. Okay? You revere what you fear what you revere. Our Father doesn't want you giving his reverence or fear to somebody else. When you fall for the fear porn by the deep state and by the mainstream media, you are actually sinning against the Father. He wants you to be more worried about him than anything that the Satan is doing and Satan's kids. Okay, what they're doing is bad. But the only reason they're getting away from it, or getting away with it, I should say, is because they've created fear in our people. And Jamie in the book here does a very good job of going through what fear does to you based on his experience in combat. The good side of fear and a bad side of fear. But as he says right here, examine the attributes, promises, blessings, and admonitions of the fear of the Lord, or fear of Yahweh, and dwell on them as we move forward. And I'll give you a few of them here. Here's Psalm 112. Blessed is the man who fears Yahweh and finds great delight in his commands. Isaiah 66. Yahweh esteems those who are humble and contrite and tremble at his word. Psalm 119, my flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in awe of your commands. Okay, so fearfulness of the enemy is a sin. Fearfulness of our Heavenly Father is an attribute. Job 28, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of all wisdom, also found in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 8, the fear of Yahweh is to hate evil. How about that one verse? If the church world just taught a sermon on a Sunday afternoon on that one verse, Proverbs 8, verse 13, the fear of Yahweh is to hate evil. Can we all agree that murdering children is evil? Can we all agree that raping children is evil? Is there anybody out there that disagrees with that? How about, can we agree that taking a child's life that's been born of a mother is evil? Can we agree that butchering a child while inside the womb of a mother is evil? I think we agree on that. Can we agree that turning a guilty person free on society when the evidence is there to prove them guilty, but because of their connections or money or whatever, you let them go? Can we agree that that's evil? Attacking a sovereign nation because we want their oil or their gold or diamonds, can we agree that that's evil? Can we agree that taking young men and women and selling them off as sex slaves on an open market is evil? Or taking people in areas of China and the Near East, poor countries, taking citizens and while they're alive without anesthesia, cutting their organs out because they get so much money on the open market for. Can we agree that those are evil things? Printing counterfeit money that robs people through ugly, ugly usury. Can we agree that that's evil? So right here, one verse, just one verse, if we were to live it as we're commanded to live it, one verse would change this world, wouldn't it? The fear of Yahweh is to hate evil. Psalm 25, Yahweh confides in those who fear him, amazingly, and reveals to them the mysteries of his covenant. How about that? But you got to believe in him to fear him, don't you? How many people really believe in Yahweh? How many, really? I mean, seriously, think about that. In your sphere of friends and family, how many actually believe in a living God? How many actually believe that one day they will stand in front of that Creator and give an accounting for their miserable life on this earth? How many actually believe that? Malachi 3, verse 16, Yahweh exalts and champions those who fear him. I'm going to tell you, that's where all of my hope and my salvation lie. I know I can't stand up against what's going on today. I don't have any power whatsoever. The only power I have is being as righteous as I know how to be and to fear Yahweh. That's it. That's all I got. That's all I got. It's actually a hell of a lot, but it's all I've got. 2 Corinthians 5, the fear of Yahweh compels us to try to persuade men. In other words, evangelize the lost. Proverbs 14, it is the upright who walk in fear of Yahweh. Psalm 115, he blesses those who fear him, both small and great. Psalm 147, he actually delights over you those who fear him. Psalm 34, those who fear him lack no good thing. Proverbs 3, the fear of Yahweh brings health. Ooh, why? Because if you actually believe in him, you might think that his food laws apply. I actually had somebody tell me today that there's somebody, I can't remember who it is, but there's actually somebody out there that believes you can pray over your food and it's okay to eat the unclean. And my comment was, let me know how that works out for him. I got plenty of relatives I've watched die early deaths because they thought things like that. Actually, they didn't even really care. They were going to eat it anyway. They said, I don't really care if I go early. I'm going to eat whatever the hell I want to eat. Yeah, that's true. You can eat whatever the hell you want to eat, but you can also suffer from it. We're just trying to tell you what you shouldn't eat so that you don't have to suffer. And I'm going to tell you another thing. You can pray over that pork and shellfish all you want, and it's still going to eat away at your joints. Okay? That's just a fact. Proverbs 14, those who fear him have a secure fortress, and their children have a refuge. Proverbs 16, those who fear Yahweh have discernment to avoid evil. Again, the book is Omega Dynamics, Equipping a Warrior Class of Christians for the Days Ahead, meaning the last days, the end of the age. And that about has everything I wanted to bring up today. So I'm going to check in with our co-host out there, Jimmy, and see what he's got to say. Jimmy, welcome to the program, bud. Are you there?
Hey,
Oh.
Pastor Dan. Yes, I have a mute button on my phone, and I won't go too much into this, but we have a little dispute amongst our channels out there, which I find to be very egregious, very disappointing, and I won't say any more, but I hope they're listening. Calm down, people. We have serious problems in this country. Commander Dan, myself, Dan, you've been in radio how long? 19, 20 years?
It'll be 20 years this fall.
All right. Well, I started out with a duct tape microphone to a Panasonic speakerphone in 2007, and I mean, I praise God. I look around and I'm not pounding my chest, but I got the best shit on the planet here, and I do. And we talked on your show on Sunday, and I hope that you all take me up because we can really refine. And I love your shows, and I'm not looking to change you by any means. But we can bring in video and bring in some face-to-face with our brother Mike and Henry and those. And all they have to do is log in here. They don't. All they have to do is open a beer, make a cup of coffee, and we can all get together. So I just had to get it off my chest. I'm very disappointed. I got bumped off Bank versus You, I don't know, back in October, November for some stupid copyright violation because I was having fun with my group. And as you know, Dan, I have a standing role. I don't have a donate button. I don't monetize this. I'm not suggesting that those that do are bad, but I don't. I have a real job, and I, again, don't mean to be insulting, but this is a labor of love. And I was called to it back in 2007 with a Logitech microphone. I swear to Lord above, I got pictures, I'll send you one, duct tape, so it didn't vibrate, on top of a speakerphone, doing call-in shows with a broadcaster in California. And I got the bug. I got bit by the bug. Anyway, to fast forward to today and to topics that we really have at hand, and I'm going to just say this and I'll close, to the people that are all fighting in my chat room, we need to get along. Stop messing with me. I mess with you, but I mess with you because you mess with me. Stop it. Stop it. We have real problems here. If you're on the YouTube circuit to make money, okay. And frankly, the channel I supported got a shit pile of money out of me, and I'll just leave it at that. Now let's go to headlines, Dan. My God, I forget the little cutesy guy stages this huge thing. It involves a lot of law enforcement. We have a state attorney, got him off, record sealed, whatever show he was on. Welcome back. We're so glad our star is exonerated. Dan, anyone that's on the fence needs to look at that very situation and see how messed up we are. How messed up we are.
I would highly recommend people go to, there's a lady in Central Florida by the name of Chris Ann Hall. And her husband is a preacher, J.C. Hall, and she is a former prosecutor and defense attorney. She, I forget how many years she was in the courts, but she was very successful as both a judge and as an attorney. Very strong
in her
knowledge.
Well, you know my real job, Dan. I know Ms. Hall very well. I've broken bread with her and her husband several times. Yes. Do I agree with her 100% of the time? No. But 99% of the time, yes. Miss Hall is an absolute treasure to this group. Her husband is, and they're funny when they do their shows. They're a happy couple. But I'll tell you what, she didn't let him get a word in edgewise. You think I talk a lot. but they're beautiful people. I don't know how much you kept up with them, but her husband talked her into going on their second sailboat cruise. They do a lot of work overseas, a lot of missionary work. They are definitely precious people. Definitely.
Right. Well, she did a analysis of the Smollett decision today. That's why I say go to her YouTube channel. Chris Ann is K-R-I-S-A-N-N-E, Chris Ann Hall. But that's her YouTube channel. But she and JC did an analysis of that whole Smollett thing based from on her knowledge as a prosecutor and a constitutional lawyer. And it's basically, you know, like you said, there's some shady dealings going on there already surfacing. It's sad. I mean, there is no justice system in this country. And again, it's because the righteous aren't demanding it. We're not holding our public servants accountable. We're not holding law enforcement accountable. We're not holding anybody accountable. Our military is not accountable to anybody. They commit crimes and nobody gets punished, okay? Lavoie Finicum was murdered. Has the people that murdered him been executed yet? No. Have the people that executed Randy Weaver's family been themselves put on the chopping block? No. Okay.
No. When I sent a love letter to the Oregon prosecutor and the Nevada prosecutor demanding justice, 3 days later,
yeah,
I had a knock on my door. Yeah. Seriously, no. That's God's truth. Not like, you know. Seriously.
Right. Oh, I can
and
believe it.
People like Chris Ann, she does her academies. Her and her husband travel around the country free of charge. And they do sell their CDs and books. And I mean, everyone has to earn a living, people. And I didn't mean to, I don't bash anyone with donate buttons on YouTube. I really don't. As long as you're providing a forum for us to gather. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, Commander Dan, but Chris Ann Hall is precious, and she's cute. Her laugh is to die for. I'm sure you've heard her on her videos, and I posted her link in your room and in my room. I recommend people get to know Ms. Hall, get to know who she really is. And, you know, there's a lot of dirtbags in the legal community, the attorneys. And there's a lot of good ones, too. There's, you know, 2% of us are good guys, good old guys. And Chris Ann Hall was a prosecutor right here. I think they still live up in Ocala or somewhere in the areas that you and I have been kind of bird dogging some possible investments in. But yeah, good people. And I did kind of lose touch with them. I need to get her back on the phone. I worked with her PR director, Cindy, and she's been on my show years ago. I need to go back and get a permission slip signed to rebroadcast because, I mean, my God, I'm not here to steal anybody's work, but I can't even tiptoe through the tulips anymore on YouTube without getting a freaking copyright strike. It's crazy.
Everybody's going through that, and we've been and I've been warning people too that YouTube and Gmail have been messing with the email services, especially on any kind of bulk mail. They're having their little algorithms go in, and if they see certain keywords in the subject or keywords in the body, they're sending back that, oh, this account can't be reached, or this account's been disabled, or it just doesn't go through with no explanation.
You want to hear another story, Commander Dan? And this is, you know, I have a lot of internet properties. Some are Bank versus You, some are 7 Radio, and that's over here. But in my real business, I have a couple of the international domain names. So I called Network Solutions yesterday, and I said, hey, and they ask you your three stupid, silly questions and this, that, and the other. And I said, it was Brian, and I think he was a muzzy and whatever, because I don't think his name was Brian, but whatever. So he goes down all the domain properties I own. He goes, oh, I see. You have two red flags in your account. And I said, really? Why? And I won't say the domain name because I try to keep, you know, what I'm doing here separate from my professional life, even though I don't give a rat's ass. Anyway, he goes, yeah, Google. Google has a flag because you don't have a secure socket layer or SSL certificate, it's called, on this XYZ.com. And Google recommends, and this guy goes off. And I put my phone on mute, and I looked up at at Kim's little angel that she's got flying on my ceiling fan here, and I said, God, give me strength not to tell this guy to suck my toe. And I came back, and I said, let me tell you something, brother. I said, Google is not my nanny. Oh, but Google Chrome and Apple Safari, and they're gonna flag this website as not being secure. I said, my websites are business related, Dan. I don't sell underwater basket weaving videos on any of my professional domains. None of them. But this guy, and what I'm trying to say here is two things. One is this guy thinks I'm going to bow to Google. And the second thing is he was trying to sell me like $6,000 worth of get the boogeyman from underneath my bed.
Mm-hmm.
It pissed me off.
I can imagine.
See, well, here's the thing. And just last night, I mean, I was fit to be tried, Dan. I actually texted you. I was ready. I'm not a violent man. But I'll tell you what, the Lord got on my shoulders, calmed me down, and got me to fire back up Bank versus You on YouTube. But mm-hmm. here's my point. We have got to stop fighting amongst ourselves. We've got to be conscious of the fact that we're in deep, 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 deep trouble here. Now to circle back around, there's like a glimmer of light that kind of hit here last night, and I want to ask, you know, kind of turn it back over to you with all this investigations and everything over. It's funny that CNN is still, they've indicated the president. First of all, why are we attacking our president, okay? But I truly, 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 for the first time this morning, I was on air till 4 o'clock this morning and had a staff meeting at 6:30. So I was dragging a little bit of ass. But my point is, do you feel something in the air that we may begin to see the Hillarys, the Clintons, the John Kerrys, the Obamas, the this, that, and the other. And I guess it came out that on George H.'s funeral, certain people received envelopes. Have you heard
right.
about that one?
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what and with all that, I kind of made a hodgepodge there. What's your feeling? I mean, I always hold the faith because our Father has the answer. I know that. I know that. I get pissed off when I help somebody out that screwed me, but I move on. But with that hodgepodge and that ham and cheese, you don't like ham, hamburger omelet, what's your take, Dan? Do you feel that the tide is turning, the pendulum is swinging, or do you think it's more kabuki theater?
I don't have a 100% answer because I'm not in the boardrooms and behind the wall and the curtain, but many of the channels that I've been following for a couple years now, they seem to think that there's some good things getting ready to happen. Is that possible? Sure. The good news is that we're going to see something happen because we have reached a tipping point. So
we are going to see something happen, brother. I'm sorry, but go ahead.
Yeah, we're going to see something happen. Whether it's good or bad for us at this moment in time is still remains to be seen, because everything we're seeing and everything we're hearing, it can go either way. It could be kabuki theater to get us to relax while they're setting up for our takedown, or there actually are good people working on it, and with the Father's help, they're going to actually start putting these people in jail and put them on trial like they should be. We're going to see one of the two.
I heard your video that you sent me, and thank you, a couple days ago on the 9/11 videographer.
Right.
I really watched that with great intent, and you know, my background, I'm like, wow, I've got the same stuff here. Same software, same. I'm just not, you know, it's more of a hobby than a profession. But I'll tell you what, it all made sense. The masking of the planes and, you know, the testimonials from people right there on the ground. I didn't see a plane. All I saw were explosions or fireballs. Dan, this has got to come out.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and
I think the canary
yeah,
in the coal
see,
mine.
What can we as men, and I'll shut up, I promise, because I love doing a show with you because you get me wound up, and I was on with Music Man Barry this afternoon. You know, I'm an excitable boy, and I'd rather be excited about software design and all that, but I'm over it. I'm sick of this. And the thing is, if you, me, and our beloved listeners all see this, where are the people we pay to enforce the rules and laws of this country? Where are they, Dan? Are they hiding? You know, hey, Jim, have faith. You know, the white hats are all out there. Well,
that remains to
they,
be
Dan?
Seen. Yeah, but what is happening is, as the pressure has been put upon the wicked ones by exposing them, it's starting to give comfort and courage to the whistleblowers, and the whistleblowers are starting to come out. They don't care about non-disclosure agreements and the threats that have been made. They're willing to take that chance to get the truth out. Just today, Dr. Dave Janda interviewed a guy that, I think he was going by the name of Winston, and he is a former high-level, high-security military individual. And
was he the Q
he
guy?
He was the guy that has the inside scoop on Benghazi, the fact he was part of the team that was watching what was going on. They had drones in the air.
Oh, yeah. Well, he
So
had
he
the
outed.
guy's father on, but he also had the top secret guy that was right there, Dan.
Yeah, that
He
was
was right
Winston.
there. Yeah, I aired that before I got banned. Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt, but yeah, that was very interesting.
So
Yeah.
that's a sample of what's going on. We're having people of conscience who have said they've lost the fear, just as Jamie talks about in his book, Omega Dynamics. They have switched the fear of the enemy to the fear of the living God. And they would rather face him one day doing the right thing and possibly getting hurt for it than keeping their mouth quiet and having to explain that before him on Judgment Day. So, see, that's the difference. True believers are going to act totally different than atheists and Satanists. Even Anton LaVey, I was reading about him, on his deathbed admitted that he made up almost everything he talked about and that he believed in God, but he made a choice to worship Satan and go against God. It's not that he didn't believe in God. He did believe in him. He made a
Well,
personal
did
choice.
he have a gun to his head, Dan?
Oh,
Just like
no, he
Herbert
didn't.
Walker Bush.
Yep.
Herbert Walker Bush, and we don't know if him and McCain, I don't think Herbert Walker Bush was given, the pill of death or whatever, but I do believe in my research, and I think you covered it on your show with one of your guests last Sunday about the postcards. And one or another, I think it was Dr. Janda that also said, Jeb Bush shouldn't play poker because when they all opened those postcards, it basically said, you know what? You see the man in the casket up there? He's busted you. And the other intel I get from inside people, which Janda has confirmed, actually I confirmed his intel is W. Bush and Laura were invited to the White House to have a private meeting with our President Trump. And see, this is where my patience comes in. Is this a very, 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 very four-dimensional, five-dimensional, six-dimensional chess game, or I like your term. Are we just being buffaloed again, aka Kabuki Theater? See?
Well,
It's
we don't
time to get.
know.
Yeah,
We
go
don't
ahead. Go
know.
ahead.
Well, I'm just saying that's why I tell people we don't have enough to go on to know whether it's Kabuki theater yet or not. It could be because there's no consistency. Trump one day will do the perfect thing for being the white knight and the true patriot and everything else, and then the next day he'll do something completely stupid that goes against everything he told us he was standing for. And he's neck deep in Jews, and everybody that knows anything knows the Jews are behind 9/11 and almost every of the acts, the false flags and staged events of
Yeah.
terror. The Israeli Mossad and all have been behind every one of them. So, there's too many dichotomies to know for sure. But what we do know is that one group or the other is going to be marched out at gunpoint here very soon. Either patriots are going to try to round up the patriots, or the patriots are going to round up the satanic Bolsheviks. One or the other. That I can
I
tell you.
vote for the latter.
Well,
I
I do
second that
too.
motion, Counselor.
I do too. I'm
Yeah.
all for our marching Bolsheviks at bayonet point up on the gallows and hanging them. Okay? But again, who's on what side? We're going to know pretty soon. We just don't know right at the moment. That's all.
I heard a good theory because I'm with you. People ask on other shows and calls, private calls or on-air calls, why Trump has all these like Barr. Barr was a Bush guy,
Yeah, and he
and
covered up some bad things.
oh shit, yeah, he did. But see, here's why I love to hate Trump, or hate to love Trump. The guy's a businessman. The guy built huge buildings all over the world, in New York City, Chicago. He, you know, the guy's hands are not clean. Okay? They're not. Is he better in that office over Hillary? You bet your ass. But what I'm trying to figure out, Dan, and you know my background, if I see a problem, I'm going to fix it. Whether you ask me to or not, I'm going to. And it's driving me crazy. But someone, and maybe it was Janda or maybe it was Douglas Dakota, one of them, made a good point. It's like, okay, Dan, I'm going to make you bar for in this little play. Then I come to you as Trump and I say, look, Dan, you're screwed. But I'm going to bring you into my council, my cabinet, and I'm going to hold your ass hostage. And the only way you're going to get out of the jail free card or get to get out of jail free card is you're going to be my legal pawn. I mean, see, that's the level that I think is going on right now. Am I crazy or...
No, that could very well be going, excuse me, that could be going on, but the problem is there's no proof.
Well, see, that's it, Dan, and you know what, I'm a patient man, but I think generally our radio crowd, your crowd, my crowd, and the American people, I guess the good news about the bad news is this has gotten so egregious that even the dumbasses are waking up.
Oh, there's definitely an awakening going on. There's no doubt about that. So, and again, the scriptures told us that Yahweh would put a hook in their jaw and pull them forward ahead of time. If they had another generation to do what they're doing, they'd have us cooked. But things have accelerated mostly because of the internet and modern technology, which of course is being used for nefarious things as well, but it's also allowing the whole world to communicate with each other around the mainstream media and the controllers of the narrative.
Oh, and that's pissing off the Murdoch group, man.
Exactly.
I mean,
my God,
you
know,
whole industry. I've been in radio for years, and you know, I've got 11 downvotes and 10 upvotes, and I don't give a rat's ass. But, you know, I've been doing this not as long as you. And, yeah, you and I get some, you know, I've even had people on my show that I found out were bad guys. I didn't know. But for us to be fighting amongst ourselves, I find it humorous. And, you know, you and I have agreed over the years, year or so that we've known each other. And Dan and I have met and broken bread together. And I look forward to our next meeting. But you come into these rooms and you're a patriot, but then you start attacking each other. Therein lies, you know, I think you even mentioned it on one of your shows in the recent days. There's actually a group in India that hires people to come in and troll us.
No, that's...
Is that you, or maybe
no,
that's another,
the,
another
that's
show?
That's the Israeli Defense Force has a group that does that.
Yes, it was you that said that, yes.
Yeah. The Israeli Defense Force has a branch called the Media, something Media, and I can't remember, but it's basically young people being paid good salaries to just sit on their ass and troll truth channels and get in there and try to cause trouble. So that's probably who's causing your trouble.
Well, maybe. And, I'm tough to it. I have a tough skin. I don't care about numbers, Dan. I care about a good quality audio. I care about coagulating with folks like yourself, Music Man Barry, my day wife, Deb Bennett, And I want to give a shout-out, shameless shout-out to our friend Ozzy over in Australia. He's rallying up a lot of people that are like-minded like us, some in higher places over there, and it looks like we're going to be able to get them to join us on a voice call, which is where I'd like to coagulate that with what we proposed on your Sunday show. We need to get us all on the phone. If you're camera shy, okay. Not a problem. But, Dan, I guess that's all we can do right now, right? That and have the faith in our Yahweh.
Well, exactly. Here's the problem, is because of who we are, we're part of what he calls the elect, which is the special forces of his end-time remnant. Because the elect are woken up first, and they're given knowledge and insight and everything else, and then the rest of the remnant wake up later, and it's the elect's job to feed them and guide them and give them the information that they've maybe been working on for decades, okay? Because many
people...
Is that
like the watchman on the wall, Dan?
They're like the watchman on the wall for the latter days, yeah. Exactly right. So the elect have been out here for a long time. And as one of my good friends that listens in and follows the program and has almost from the beginning, he said it's lonely being the lead dog. And that was a cute letter he sent to me. Basically, you know, when you're the lead dog, you're out there. You got nobody to lean on. You've got to lead the pack, and that's the elect's job. They're the watchman on the wall. They see the enemy. They see clearly what needs to be done, but the brethren haven't got up to that point and that speed yet, and it's frustrating. But we have to stay on the wall and keep blowing the horn, keep passing out the information, keep exposing the lies, because that's our job right now. And we just have to trust the Father that he's not going to allow any weapon formed against us to succeed. That's already been told to us by the prophets, and it's a fact. No weapon that they form will succeed against his true sons and daughters. So the safest place to be is in his company. That's all there is to it. There is no human defense against all the onslaughts against us. I mean, they're poisoning your air, your water, your food. The vaccines are a poison. The doctors are incompetent. The pharmaceuticals will kill you just as much as anything else. Death by doctor is approaching 800,000 a year, I think is what one guy told me, the actual number.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I think they call it iatropic death, or death by doctor, which means either by malpractice,
Dr. Janda
dose,
spoke
or
about that
wrong
too.
Medicine.
Yes.
So, yeah. And Dr. Janda attests to it as well, because he left his job as a pediatric surgeon, just this past January because of Obamacare and some of the stipulations on the medical profession. He'd had enough, and now he devotes
full
time to exposing. Well,
didn't he actually begin to stand up? And I am not very clear on this, but what I read from him is he retired early, because of the very thing. He wasn't just going to, you know, be a guy that came in a white lab coat with a stethoscope around his neck and a script pad. And I guess he did kind of push back against the pharmaceutical community. And the good thing about Dave Janda is his family is deep-seated in what I still believe or the white hats, Dan.
Right.
I do. I pray each night when I go to bed for my livelihood, my friends, and I pray that the next time I get a knock on my door, it's Jimmy, you've been called. And I don't mean called to Yahweh's kingdom yet. I don't think Yahweh's done with us yet. It's go time. And we know you're an honest guy, and we need your help. It, like you said on a couple shows ago, you know, I'm an old guy. I'm still in pretty good shape. I know my way around my back room there that's full of Smith & Wesson products. I'm not inciting violence, and I would never go out and do any of this crazy shit. But, Dan, you said it 20 minutes ago. It could go either way. They're either going to come for us, like Music Man Barry says, don't get on the bus, or they're going to come for us and say, it's go time, Patriot, let's go. Minuteman, let's go. And I'm not saying it's, you know, lock and load. I'm thinking it's, I don't know what I'm thinking. I don't know.
Well, we have the book of Revelation that says that, you know, that the enemy, Satan and his minions, their anger would be very great near the end because they know their time is short. And that certainly does identify the Democratic Party, the rhinos, and the Bolsheviks that have infiltrated our nations. They're absolutely insane right now. So they're being exposed at an alarming rate, which is causing them to go even crazier and say even dumber things, which just exacerbates the problem for them.
Well,
so
see,
that's
Dan,
a, you know,
there's
that's
my concern,
thing.
Sir. There's my concern. It's if I corner you in a room, it's like a cornered rat or a cat or an animal, and they have no way to escape, they're going to... I truly think that the next 9/11 event, type event, is their only Hail Mary they have left, sir.
Right, but they won't be able to pull it off. They won't be able to pull it off. That if they could have what they wanted, they would do that, absolutely. And odds are they would have done it already if they were able to do it. But they are trying everything they can short of that. It's not working. And so if they could do it, they will try to pull that off. I personally think that there are forces on this earth that know exactly what they have planned, and they're not going to allow them to do that. So either way, I don't worry about it because my faith and trust is in Father completely. And he said, no weapon formed will succeed. Well, I just believe it. That's all there is to it. How it's going to happen, I have no idea. I just trust that it is.
No, I get that, Dan. And see, that's where I struggle. Even, you know, I've got friends and family that are retired. I've got one guy that's retired, Secret Service. He served 3 presidents. I still am surrounded by good, old lawyers. You know, I tease my listeners, Money, Guns, and Lawyers. And the one gentleman that is retired from Secret Service is very spiritual. And we get into these conversations, and this is where I get really confused. Because if it's in Father's hands, which I agree it is, then I say, okay, Mr. X, should I sit back here in my chair, stop doing the Watchman on the Wall, the wake-up call, the radio shows, go lay in my hammock and enjoy the fruits of my labor and say it's in God's hands. Jesus, take the wheel. And I'm not being a smartass. I'm not being blasphemy. I'm being called to do something, and I don't feel like I'm doing enough, Dan. I struggle with that.
Yeah, but that's typical. I talk to people hours and hours every day on the phone that feel exactly the same way, and that's typical of the watchmen that are part of the elect, because, again, you know too much, okay? You see too much, you understand too much. And so you can't understand why everybody else isn't at your level. And that's frustrating, and that's true, okay? But you have to understand that that's what's happening. And this is all the word logos in the Greek language is interpreted as the word many, many times, especially where it says that the word was with him from the beginning and he was the word. Well, that should have been the plan, okay? Because everybody sees that and they think it's talking about the Bible. It's not talking about the Bible, okay? People got to get over that. It's the plan. Logos is the plan. The plan has been with the Father from the beginning. He is the plan, and the plan is going to come about exactly as he says. Now, that doesn't mean that we have no part to play. Just because the Father knows who we are and what our tendencies are and what the overall game plan is, it's just like the coach on a football field. He has a game plan when he goes out there to win the game. Okay, now you may lose a down or two, you might fumble the ball here and there, but he's looking at the big picture. And when he goes out there, like in my senior year, we were undefeated. So every time the offense took the field, all 11 of us went out there, and we all had the same mindset that we were invincible, and we were going to win this game, and we were all going to give 110% of our effort on every single snap of the football. And it went for an entire season. It doesn't mean that we didn't have some letdowns. We didn't have guys carried off the field on a stretcher once in a while. It doesn't mean that the other team didn't score a touchdown once in a while. But it, your eye is on winning the game and winning as many battles as you can, knowing that this is a war. It has a finite end to it, which is coming up here pretty quick. But it's still, we're in the game. We have to play every play as if the game depends on the play that we have today. And we don't worry about the plays we played yesterday and the day before. We don't worry about what we're going to play a day or two or three from now. We worry about what play are we in tonight and what are we going to do tomorrow morning in the game. And trust the coach that we're going to win this thing, because he said we're going to win it. He has a game plan that can't fail. If we do our job, that's the big if.
Right.
If.
But, you know, I just fired a new book. It's Negative Thinking by Bob Knight, and I actually bought the DVD to go along with it, which, you know what, Dan, you said on your show Sunday, and you said in subsequent shows, people don't read anymore. And I used to read. I've got more books here. Kim's library here is outstanding. I mean, my goodness, from holistic healing and how to grow this, that, and the other. But I was on with Music Man Barry a couple weeks ago, and, you know, I knew who Bobby Knight was, and we started talking about it. So I ordered his book, Negative Thinking. And that's how I think in my real job. My job is loss mitigation and to assess a situation negatively so that I can be successful, like my computer room. What could happen? Well, I'm going to think negative because I need a backup, bridle power system here. I'm going to think negative, then, you know, yeah, I have a car, but maybe I need a backup car. Yeah, I have a generator, but maybe I need a backup generator. And some people call that whatever, but Music Man Barry and I were doing a call like this, and he said, Jim, he goes, you're the same as Bob Knight. And it didn't click with me who Bobby Knight was. I know who the hell Bobby Knight is. But we're back to coaches. This guy was brutal to his men, but 99% of the boys that he groomed to be winners respect the man.
Mm-hmm.
Same like a drill sergeant. Even like if you want to go back and be kind of funny, Gomer Pyle and Sergeant Carter. But I recommend that book. It's called Negative Thinking. And I'm a, you know, the beer bottle's half full, and I'm being funny there. But, you know, I'm optimistic, but we have to think, in my opinion now, I hate it when people school me, but the way I think is, okay, I'm going to buy a house, and I'm going to think of everything that can go wrong with that house. Or let me go back to my studio here that I'm sitting in right now. Everything that could possibly go wrong during a live show, I've got a backup to. Everything. That's the power of negative thinking. And the title is so cool. Because it is an oxymoron. It is it's a double positive. We have to, all of us, and the reason I brought that up, Dan, is tell you what, get some water, get a few cans of corn, beans, beans and rice or protein. You can even get cans of beef broth to flavor it a little bit. Dan, I'm not here to fear porn, but unless the pendulum swings the way that I pray to God it does, and even if it does, I really, truly believe that we're going to see dogs and cats getting along in the streets, as the movie Ghostbusters said. Anarchy? Maybe. But Dan, they're bringing in Muslims. They're bringing in whatever. And you know what? Any human being life is valuable to me. It is. I don't care if you're black, white, red, whatever. But if you're coming into my neighborhood with the ideal of no respect, and I catch you messing around with my property, I'm going to shoot you. I'm going to drop you. And isn't it a damn shame that we even have to have this conversation? Because our government is fighting to bring in the bad guys, Dan.
Wow, here
I wish
again.
Jay was on the phone. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
It's up to what the people will accept, as my father told me many years ago when I was a boy. The people get as much tyranny as they accept. They get as much tyranny as they tolerate, all right? And Yahweh has said exactly the same thing. I didn't put you on this earth to be the slaves of evil, satanic people. I put you here as my administrators. You're not doing your job.
Yeah.
You're not
tend
doing your job.
Tend the farm. Adam,
right.
You're in charge of the garden. And
well,
Adam, I'm going to give you this beautiful, beautiful lady here. Okay, Adam?
Well, that's a good point, and people have to understand. Adam was put here first. Eve came much later. So
yes.
Adam was put here to do a job, and it's no negative towards the women, but Adam was put here to do a job, and Adam has the capability of doing it by himself. Now, he doesn't have to be by himself, but the point of it is, we men know exactly what we should be doing right now. The men of Yahweh do, anyway. We know exactly what needs to be done. And
Dan, I said it on our air yesterday, I love my car, and I call her a she. But when I put the key in and I start, I'm the master of that machine. And maybe that's a bad analogy. And I mean no disrespect to women. You know how much I miss and love my Kim. But
well,
I'm a man.
Yeah.
You're a woman. Yeah. What is so disrespectful about that, ladies?
There's nothing disrespectful about the Father's kingdom, and that's the rules in the kingdom. If women don't like that, well, then they need to take it up with the guy that created all this, okay? Because if you're going to argue his hierarchy, then you're barking up the wrong tree. Adam
Amen.
Was put here. And in fact, when you get into the study of linguistics, and especially the ancient Greek and even the ancient Hebrew, the Paleo-Hebrew, but particularly the Greek, which is more common, the words that apply to children and to wives was as if they were under the man's authority. It's the word doulos. They were referred to as doulos. And depending on context, it was talking about children or wives. But doulos was a common term. It just meant one under the authority of the man of the house. People say, well, you mean like property? Not necessarily like property, but just that they were under his authority. He was the man of the house. He was the patriarch. He was the chief executive officer of whatever size family it was. And that's
well, Dan,
the hierarchy.
Real quick, in return, our role as men was to provide the cave, protect the cave, and protect our wife,
yeah.
Right?
Protect
our
family.
That's a tall order.
It is
okay?
A tall order. Yeah, it is a tall order. Most of the ladies that I've talked to over the years like that form. They don't like what they see today. They said that they would, if men would behave like men. Now, that's the only criteria. It's not you're not a man just because of your appendage. You're a man because of what character you have. That's what makes a man a man.
I agree.
Okay, so
yes.
I've had lots and lots of women, even some of the feminists that I've known over the years, the more liberal women, have admitted that the biblical patriarchal family, they would absolutely love it, but they would not submit to that unless it was a biblical man that you're talking about. They said, these average guys out here with their hair up in a bun or with their piercings and tattoos that act like cucks and soy boys, no way would they submit to that. And I don't blame them, and I told them that. I said, my thesis that I wrote is based on biblical men. It's not based on just any old man. Just any old man doesn't have that kind of right. It's the biblical man, the man who educates himself, takes care of himself, practices hygiene. He's smart. He studies constantly. He's righteous. He studies scripture. He teaches what he learns to his family. He protects his family, even unto death. And he will do whatever he can to make that family prosper. That is a biblical man. And that's
Amen.
The only man we're talking about. That's the only
that's
man
right.
that'll fix the problems we have today. And that's the only man that will gain the respect of the wives and children. And I know because my father was pretty damn close to that. He was the rock of our whole family on both sides. And I'm not saying that because of me. The whole family referred to him as that. He was an absolute rock when it came to being the man of the family and not taking any bullshit off anybody. He didn't allow anybody.
That was my father.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
In fact,
my father was the best. Go ahead.
A little shout out. At one point in my early life as a 20-some-year-old, I got into some trouble having to do with a woman, obviously. And I had some mafiosa types following me every day I went to work. There was a van, ironically, with Florida plates on it. And this was up in Ohio. But they would follow me every day going to work to make sure that I went to work and really wasn't too sure what they were up to. And my father was approached and told that he needed to talk to me and tell me to cease and desist or else. And I was so proud of my father. My father, and again, he was not a violent man, but he looked at this guy and he said, let me tell you something. If anything happens to my boy, you will not be able to hide. I will find you, and I will kill you.
That's my dad, Dan.
All right? That's the only time.
My dad was a gentle giant, but
exactly.
You don't mess with his
you don't
cubs.
Mess with,
yeah.
You don't mess with his family. So even though I wasn't doing what I should have been doing, I have to admit that looking back at it, he would have been right to give me a good scolding and everything else, but I was a 20-some-year-old, so he couldn't do that. But I appreciated the fact that he didn't like what I was doing, but I was still his son. And this outsider threatening to do harm to me, he saw that as a much graver threat, and he basically told him that, you know, I'll take care of Dan and we'll look after him, but if you harm him, I will find you and I will destroy you. You can count on that. So,
see, I can picture my father saying that, sir, but God, I'm sorry to interrupt, but yeah.
Exactly. Well, I'm just saying that's the kind of men we're talking about, men that don't take any crap, men who are willing to get dirty, men who are willing to fight, and hopefully it doesn't get down to that, because you got to remember, most bullies, and that's what we've got going on in this country right now, these swamp creatures are bullies. Most bullies are cowards. If enough righteous men stood up and said, okay, bring it on. Bring your worst on.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn. Bring your worst on.
You know another lesson my father taught me, Dan, and I am not perfect. And in my last maybe 20 years, I've calmed down. I had a big old scarab boat, and it was a party animal, and blah, 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 blah. Never hurt anybody. But I'll tell you what my father taught me, as well as respect. He taught me to own up and be a man to my shortcomings, my mistakes.
Right.
If I made a mistake, even if I made a mistake, which, my God, Dan, you've been in high-end engineering jobs as I have. I do my best to be my best, but we're also human. And I have made mistakes. And my point is, my father taught me, and to this day, I am proud of who I am, but I'm also not afraid to say, hey, I screwed up. I'm sorry. I screwed up. I took best care. And, of course, now we have to have errors and omissions and all this other insurances and. But I'll tell you, Dan, I operate my life the best I can. The best I can in my senior years here. And I'm not even a senior, but, yeah, maybe getting there.
Yeah.
But when I screw up, I'm my worst enemy.
Well, here's
but
the
I admit it. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir. Yeah.
Yeah, but here's the difference. When I was playing teener league ball, one year, there was a call from the third base coach, who was the head coach of the team. He was at the third base box, and he put the squeeze play on. And for people that don't know what the squeeze play on, that's a sign that he gives to the batter that says, on the next pitch, you're to bunt the ball because the guy on third base is stealing home base. That's called a squeeze play. Well, I missed the call. So my buddy Bobby was on third base at the time, and the pitch came in, and I started to do my swing, and out of the corner of my eye, I could see Bob on a dead run for home base, and I realized what he was doing. I jerked the bat back and took a swipe at the ball and ended up knocking it over the right field fence, which is a home run. So I go traipsing off across the first, second, third base. I come into home base, my right foot hit the home plate, and before my left foot could come back down on the ground, the coach had knocked me on the ground. He took his fist.
Uh-oh.
And he hit me right in the chest. So right there, in front of the umpire, the other team, all my teammates and all the family that were in the bleachers, the coach knocked me on my ass right there at home plate. And I just looked up at him and I said, what the hell was that for? And he said, you almost took Bobby's head off with the swing of that bat. And he goes, and I gave you a signal, and you missed it. The point of it is, nobody took offense to that. Nobody come down there and accused him of abuse. I didn't take offense. My parents didn't take offense. Bobby, who should have been pissed off at me, he wasn't. He actually got a kind of a chuckle out of the fact that I was laying in the dirt after hitting a home run. So nobody got offense. And even I didn't, because I realized that he was right. I missed the call, and I could have seriously hurt my best friend coming from third base. The point of it is, I never missed a call after that. I'll guarantee you, I paid very close attention.
There you go. And Music Man Bear and I did a show earlier to that very point, Dan. We have to fall off our bicycles to learn not to squeeze the front brake and flip ourselves off and all these things we went off on today. Then we went on to tell a story about my friend with GT MobileNet, which was a senior executive, and his daughter was promised a new Camaro, and she was well on her way to straight A's and this, that, and the other, but she got lax in her middle of her senior year, and her grades fell way down. And Dad said, no car.
Right.
She called CPS on him. I think I've told this story on your show. Oh, yeah. It ruined this guy's career. He was exonerated, but it wrecked the entire family, Dan, over the spoiled little brat. And Barry made a good point. He and I did a call today earlier on air. And you know what? He said, Jim, I don't feel sorry for him because it's his fault. And you know what? He kind of whipped my head around because I've been defending this guy for a long time. But he's right. Hey, what 16, 17-year-old, this is a girl at the time or a guy, and I've seen it when I graduated. I saw people get Jim Rockford Camaros. Free. Here's your new car. And Dan, more often than not, those things ended up in the junkyard. They were either dead from an accident. And my point is, we just like your baseball story, you thought you were doing the right thing, but your peers, your mentors came out and said and whapped you upside the head, just like the good Lord did to me last night. I had a revelation here last night. I did. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
You thought you were doing the right thing, right, Dan?
Well, exactly. But, you know, the scripture says he chastens those that he loves, which means he punishes or chastises those he loves. Because he wants us to be better men and women, all right? That's the problem. We've become lax, lazy. We've taken on the habits and the lifestyles of the other races who have come in amongst us instead of staying true to our own. So we've been disobedient to the Father, and we're getting our comeuppance right now with all the stuff we see going on. Those are attributes of a people who are in disobedience. And that's why I entitled it Repent or Perish. We're at that point. It's a critical point. We cannot recover if we do not repent very, very soon and come back to the Father and the Father's ways. If we don't do that,
well, Dan,
we will perish.
Explain to people, if you would, please, explain to people what exactly repent is. If you follow, and again, you know, I mean, again, I'm 59, and man, I follow my rules to the T. But take a moment, if you would, and educate our audience on what your version of repent is, please.
Well, repentance, as we said in the beginning of the program, comes from the Greek word there, which is 3340, melanoleo, which is to reconsider or to think differently. And if you look at the Latin of repent, it means to think over again. Change the direction you're going. Change your priorities. Change your thinking habits. Repentance. It's got nothing to do with some sects of Catholicism and Christianity. They used to take whips and whip their backs and all that. That's nonsense. That's not what repentance is. Repentance is basically remorse over how you have been thinking and going, and rethink your station in life. Rethink who you are. Rethink where you're going. Rethink your priorities. Rethink your stand on things based on what? Based on either your criteria or Yahweh God's criteria, one or the other. Just like the Founding Fathers said, you will either be ruled by God or by tyrants. That's just the way of the world. You've only got two choices. you are going to be subject to somebody. That's just the way it is. You're going to either be subject to the King of Kings, who is merciful and wants the best for you, or you'll be ruled over by tyrants made of men and women who don't give a damn about you. They just look
but
at
Dan,
you as a subject.
Because I am here to witness to your answer if it's in my favor. If not, then I will ask questions. Do you think Yahweh has a hand in gently, and I always say whacked up side of my head with a 2x4, in gently encouraging his people into repentance? Because again, I mean, I wasn't a sinful guy, but I'll tell you what, man, I had my Target Top Supra, I had a jet ski, a wet bike, and a scarab boat, and I just thought I was the next thing to slice fucking bread. I did.
Well, yeah,
but in, you know, I mean, it was gradual, but in 2007, I'll never forget the day, ever, something happened.
Right.
Well,
he'll
put
get
me
your
in
attention.
What I'm doing now.
Yeah.
Oh,
he'll get
you
your
bet
attention.
He did. Oh,
and
yeah.
And how severe it is and how dramatic it is depends on the person. Some people only need a nudge in the right direction, and they're good to go. Other people literally have to get hit with a brick. I remember even after I knew the Father and I knew this message, there was a period of time he put me through some severe trials. But looking back at it, it also opened a lot of doors. It taught me how to pray better. For the first time in my life, I understood what hot tears and prayer were all about. I didn't know. I never experienced it. I sure did then. It tested me severely. But that also proved that the scripture's true. It says that all things work to the good for those who love the Father. It's true. All things work to the good, even if you don't understand it. If you love the Father, there's the big if. See, people don't seem to want to hang on to proper grammar. If is a conditional, right? It's joining something. If means if this happens, then this happens. Okay? And
I write legal briefs all day, Dan. If or perhaps or, you know, even if you draft a financial document, if it's Dan and Jim, then it's Dan and Jim's money. If it's Dan or Jim, it's an exclusive or. Dan
right.
could go, I'm being techie, but I'm sorry, sir.
It's
go,
the
yeah.
logic, you know, I wrote procedures in nuclear power plants, so we called them when and if statements, okay? They're a form of logic as you're writing procedures to tell people what to do. When you see this, then you do that. If you see this, then you do that. Okay, the scriptures are no different.
Well,
these are logic diagrams. Huh?
Yeah, if Dan's on the phone, go down this code set. If Barry's on the phone, go down this code set. It used to be if-then statements. And
right.
end-ifs. And nested end-ifs. Now, I program an ASPX, who is my favorite thing with the .NET library, and we have try loops now. Well, in a try loop, I call it like poking the turkey to see if it's done. Try. Is it done? No. Then go over here and do this. And time out 30 seconds, a minute, whatever I tell it. Okay, go back and try again. And I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's logic, and that's why I love programming, because it is how we as Christian men should behave. Should I end this call tonight and wish you all good night and go to the shower and splash on a little high karate and go 2 miles up the road to the club and see if I can't bring home a miniskirt, Dan? The answer is no.
Right.
But anyway, I'm sorry to go off on a little rabbit hole, but logic is simple. It really, isn't that what we've all talked about over all these conversations? Why do we have a Muslim in Minnesota taking the oath of office on a Quran? Logic says no. You know why logic says no? Because we have the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, if that little bunt cake wants to be some political figure, go back to wherever she claims she grew up in a tent. Screw that. And my other example, and I'll yield. Dan, you're welcome in my home. I have a beautiful guest room with a bathroom. And next time you come up to Tampa, I'd be honored to be your host. But if you come into my home, I'm going to say, hey, Dan, welcome. Let me show my toys. Make yourself at home. And, when I go fix us a drink or whatever, and I come out and you're burning my pictures and you're rearranging my living room. No, you're a guest here. You're
right.
A guest. Anyway, I'll get off that. You get my point.
Well, again, it's disobedience to the Father, and the church world is part of the problem. The churchianity business, the mainstream churches have taught that, Christ loves everybody, and the founding fathers set this country up to accept everybody, and that's just not true. It's a lie. It doesn't work. Homogeneous people are the only people that will succeed at anything. As soon as you bring in mixed cultures and religions and languages and races, now you've got a hodgepodge and you're not going to accomplish a damn thing except turmoil and chaos. One side's going to win or the other. They're not going to coexist. Okay? And Leviticus and Deuteronomy are very, very clear when the ancient Israelites were told you are not to allow somebody not of your own household, meaning your own race, to have any kind of governing authority over you. You're not allowed to. That's a commandment. That's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Because our Heavenly Father knows, and our Founding Fathers knew. That's why it's a part of the Constitution, and that first law they wrote within the signing of it, even before the ten Amendments, the Bill of Rights, was added. Before that, they wrote very specifically a law that said only free white men of good repute. So they further defined the Constitution. When it says all men are created equal, it was talking about all European men have an equal standing. It wasn't talking about the Aborigines in Australia and the blacks of Africa and Middle Easterners and Orientals. That's total bunk. That's just absolute horse manure. So again, Father gives us a plain and simple set of rules. But do we have enough faith to live by them? Because that's where our safety comes. And the reason we're in the trouble is because we've turned our back on all that. We've believed the liars, the media, the stars in Hollywood, the sports figures. All of them are taking big, big chunks of money, just like that goofball Rachel Maddow, the little hag Jewess. She gets paid $10 million a year.
$10 million a year, Dan.
To sit in front of a camera,
yeah.
Spewing her lies out. Right. And we believe people like that instead of listening.
All right, Rachel. Now, I'm your producer, and what I want you to do is go on air, and I want you to cry tonight.
Yeah, and
Dan,
she does. She's not good at
ladies,
it.
Ladies, hide your ears. She's a frickin' slut.
Well, they're all.
I don't mean that in the. Well.
They're all whores. They take money and do outlandish things that they don't personally believe in. They know they're a lie.
And this is where my analytical mind really freaks out. I have to wonder who, in their right conscious mind, is sitting in front of their flat screen listening to this piece of garbage. They also aired yesterday. I used to watch the Today Show religiously years ago. And actually, years ago, I used to like Matt Lauer. See, that's how I've evolved. What a scumbag he is.
Mm-hmm.
Katie Couric. I love Katie Couric. She's another scumbag. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But Sarah Sanders, which I love to death, the White House press secretary, was on with, what's her name? Havana something something. And NBC aired that, and it was 100%, Dan, scripted to make our press secretary, to tear her down. Why would you and I start a business, Dan, and then tear each other down every day? I don't get it, man.
Well, the media is just a mouthpiece for the propagandists with the money. Follow the money. Follow the money right back to Jewish bankers and Jewish politicians.
Yeah, well, are we back to Soros? Are we back to the International Monetary Funds? Why don't we have a good dinner tonight? And I've got all night, as long as you have, and finish our call. And get up in the morning and shower, sit, shower, and shave, ladies. That's what men do. And get up and go and round these assholes up, Dan. Hey, I don't get it.
Well,
when I sold my bank business, Dan, I had 635 employees. That's a shit pile. That's a lot.
Yeah.
But if I had a fungus among us, Dan, it would filter up to me through my management team. And I'm going to go eradicate that fungus among us.
Yep.
I'm going to yield because I think you get my point, right?
It's the same problem everybody's got. We all see the problem. We know it needs to be done, but for some reason we can't seem to get on the same page. We will at some point. We will. What it's going to take to do that, I don't know. But it is going to happen. It is going to happen. So just be ready for it. Like you said, it may not be much longer either. Because one side
well,
is
going
to win this
war. You gave me a big smile when you said that. Because the key word is, you never know, Dan. You never know. Hell, I don't think the good Lord's done with me yet, but I could pass away in my sleep tonight. So could you.
Mm-hmm.
So could people listening, which is where I've become humble. And back to our point, people change. I had a gradual awakening, but one day in, I think it was March of 2007, I've got it marked on the old calendar back in the computer room. I think it was like March 19th or something. I had that epiphany, Dan. I didn't care about the boats, the planes, the car, the monies, nothing. We all need money to survive. I get that. I do. But I had that epiphany, that awakening, just like I had last night. And I was so pissed off sitting here when 7 Radio got bumped by the Google. And, of course, you can't contact them. You can't appeal it. I played a damn Three Dog Night. No, it was a Roger Daltrey song with my little group here. And, my point is, and I'll shut up. I had an epiphany last night, which I think is going to pan out. But in 2007, ladies and gentlemen, and I met Kim in 2009, best woman on the planet. She was a, how should I say, she expected me, Dan, to take care of her as a man, and I expected her to take care of me as a woman. And you know what? It was harmony, brother. It was. Respect. Mm-hmm. You know, and she teased me. Hey, she called me Pa. Hey, Pa, when are you going to stop opening my car door for me? I said, honey, never. Never. I put my girl in the car, Dan. I open the door for her. Get her in. I get in the driver's seat. Off we go. What's happened to that? I don't think there's a 20-year-old man on the planet that would hear me say that without laughing at me or not knowing what the f*** talking about. Anyway, I digress.
Yep, and it's about time to go. So, yeah, well, again, repentance, rethinking. That's the name of the game. Put yourself in the right position with the Father, and good things are going to happen. And when enough of us do it, then he's going to open up the floodgates, and all kinds of changes are coming. In the meantime, the watchmen continue to blow the trumpet and sound the alarm. And that's all we can do. Day by day. One day at a time. So,
indeed,
any closing comments?
Dan.
Hmm?
No, sir. Other than thank you for what you do. I am honored to be your friend, and I do look forward to the next time we meet in person. And I'm going to close with this. Dan, if you need anything, I don't give a rat's ass if it's 3 o'clock in the morning. If it's in my pocket, it's yours. And with that, sir, thank you for your service, and Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless, Jimmy. Take care. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'll close in a short prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity to share upon the air with our brothers and sisters all over this earth and for those that listen later on. We just ask that the words reach those that it's meant to hear. We also pray for salvation for our people in the sense that we have many enemies that are out to destroy us as a people. And our people need to wake up to this situation and do it very, very quickly. In the meantime, we ask that you would watch over your children, those that are awake, that love you, do their best to follow your laws, keep them with high spirits, pour out your spirit upon them, give them a stiff backbone, lots of courage, good discernment, and lose that spirit of fear and turn that fear over to fear of you, which means reverence of you. Put all our trust in you, and don't give fear to our enemies. That's a power to them, and it's a weakness to us. Instead, fear you, reverence you, trust you, have faith in you, and love you as our Creator and Father. And understand that your law is the perfect law of liberty. And if we truly want liberty and freedom as you intended, it's only found in following you and your law. And once our people realize that, things can really, really start to change. So forgive us our shortcomings and failures. Watch over us and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.